show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I'm here. Let the bells ring out and the banners fly. It's too good to be true. Feast your eyes on me, but I'm here. Yes, indeed. It is a minute past the hour. This program is live if you are listening at 6.01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 6th day of March 2015. Live. After a couple of days of remote broadcasting in Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill, and after a couple of days' unanticipated extra travel time, we're live. And we're live for what? Yes, of course. Friday on the front porch. Thank you very kindly, Randy. Loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac, Bob. Happy to know it. Happy indeed. Good evening to the regular denizens of the chat room. Good evening, News Ninja Carol Baker. Good evening, Carol Abel. Good evening, Gerald. Good evening, John. Good evening, Michael and Ron and Texas T. And, of course, good evening to our longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators, Lottie in still frozen Boston, and third stage guild navigator Sparky, also folding space in the chat room as Man Cave. I hadn't done that since I got home. I think I was just waiting for the opportunity. Yeah. It is Friday on the front porch, and in fact, I'm tickled pink to be home. Ferg and I pulled into the driveway here at Mansion Kincaid earlier this afternoon. It felt a lot like, I don't know, to me, Odysseus and Telemachus bailing water out of the bathtub and rowing into the harbor there at Ithaca. Yeah, it was... What a hell of a ride. Okay, Texas T, you smart aleck. Who's this guy talking on the radio? Okie dokie. Everybody's a comedian. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. That must be what Texas T was alluding to. I forgot to say that. I forget to say that a lot. I've got a couple of things that are still in the works here in the Horn studio. I'm getting the laptop that runs the Skype line going again. Had to tear down some stuff and put it all back together again. Thank you, Gerald. Good to see you're on the job early this evening. Man Cave pointing out warm day on the estate, 79 degrees, followed by Gerald's shut it, Sparky. And so there I was, howling down I-81 at every bit of 25 miles an hour on Thursday. And you can tell that the community has an impact on each other. And I learned it Thursday when Ferg's 19. But there are some things he's never seen in his life. He has never seen, for instance, a jackknifed tractor-trailer truck. Well, he saw a bunch of them yesterday, Thursday. And one of them, seeing his first one, he went, "What happened?" I said, "Son, that's a jackknife." And he did a 2-count at best. And he looked at me and said, "Thanks, Obama." Yeah. There we go. And I thought, yeah, Gerald, he got his fill of jackknife pickup trucks on Thursday, no doubt. We all did. And most assuredly, without a doubt, the people driving said trucks, professional drivers no less, I'm sure got their fill of it. It was, well, okay, so here's how it worked out. Radio Row, brought to us by Families USA, who are a really, really good bunch of people who are, you know, if the folks, you know, Ron Pollock heads Families USA, he was on the program on Tuesday. And a whole lot of other wonderful people. I think if they had their way, we'd have single payer for everybody tomorrow. But nonetheless, they recognize that the system we have under the Affordable Care Act is one of those better than nothing affairs. It would be better than nothing if John Roberts had left it the hell alone and not gutted the Medicaid expansion under the rubric of coercive federal government behavior. When is the last time, and this is just a little thought experiment, when is the last time that anybody looked at you and said, "Hey, I got a lot of free money I'd like to give you," and you felt like you were being coerced into something? Because that, of course, is what the Supreme Court back in 2012 defined as coercive conduct on the part of the big, nasty, overreaching Kenyan Muslim usurper federal government. Now, the sane states in the union looked at that coercive conduct and said, "Free money? What? For me? Oh, yes, please." But then the birthers and deathers and ninthers and tenthers and baggers and booger eaters and birchers and libertarians and Republican governors, well, they saw that offer, and instead they heard, "Here, goddammit, it's a bunch of free money from the federal government. Take it! Take it! Take it!" And "Mercy sakes, no! I will not take your evil Muslim Kenyan you slurping money. I won't take it. You can't make me." And therein was born the notion of federal government coercive conduct via free money. So anyway, it was Family USA, Families USA, who kindly brought us Radio Row. And that's why I wound up there, along with Ferg. Had a lovely time getting to hang out with Mike Malloy and Pterodactyl, and also, of course, for the first time in a couple of years or more, getting to hang out with Guy James. I think those of you who listened all know why I so revere Guy James's broadcast skills. He's just special. Well, to say he is a special talent is to both over and underwork the word special. It was wonderful. And so we wrapped up on Wednesday evening. And this is what makes it a little bit tough from my perspective. A lot of people get done on Wednesday evening and they just grab a cab and head off to the airport and fly away. But for me to fly from Charleston, West Virginia, to Reagan, to National Airport, involves either going through Atlanta or Charlotte. Now, there is a straight shot from Beckley to Dulles, and I've taken it before a couple of times, and that's part of the reason I swore I would never do it again. You take a twin-engine turboprop crop duster from Beckley to Dulles, and then you've got that whole party of getting from Dulles to Washington, D.C. So flying doesn't work, and we drive. And it's usually fairly uneventful. But even under the most uneventful of circumstances, it's a little bit of a pain in the ass on the return trip, because there's no, because you got to leave at 6 o'clock in the evening on Wednesday, which Ferg and I did. He did a great job helping to pack up the equipment. Ferg did a great job producing. He produced Guy James both days. Sorry, Marty. Amtrak is not an option. They will not let you check baggage. Plus, it takes about 12 hours to make a... It usually takes about 12 hours to make a six-hour... six-hour train ride. On tracks that often have bomb trains running in front of and or behind one. Remind me, there's bomb trains in the news, okay? So, when we got finished on Wednesday, it was absolutely pouring the rain. And it was also 6 o'clock on a Wednesday evening in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill. It took 2 full hours to travel the 2.8 miles from Capitol, because that's all it is, from Capitol Hill to the Potomac River down Constitution and Pennsylvania Avenues. Really. And there was a lot of horn blowing, and I don't understand the horn blowing. Maybe it's because I've reached that zen state after driving for a few decades. I don't get the horn blowing. Okay, you blow the horn if somebody's about to do something incredibly stupid, but just sitting there in traffic and beeping the horn because you're frustrated, and just about everybody in that string of traffic had experienced that very thing. They probably experience it every day of their lives. It's their commute. Marty again, fly to Dulles. No, I will not fly that twin-engine crop duster. I've had that flight several times, and every single time, it's a miserable experience from hell with the thing bobbing and dodging and weaving through the air like the entire airspace from Beckley, West Virginia to Dulles is actually airspace over Hanoi circa 1969. And besides, they use an airplane that periodically falls out of the sky. So there we were, 2 hours. So that meant by 8 p.m. we were crossing the Potomac River onto I-66 proper, headed westbound out of the district and through the soggy wilds of northern Virginia, which we eventually accomplished. Arriving in Manassas a little before 9, at which point we realized that, how about that? the windshield wipers are shredded. And they were. I mean, they were in tatters. I hadn't noticed it because we hadn't had to use them on the trip in. And so we stopped and got wipers and grabbed a bite. And at that point in time, I was on my, 18th hour of being awake. And so, 16th hour, to be fair. 17th. And so we knocked off for the night. I'd planned on knocking off somewhere. I thought maybe we'd get to the end of I-66, but not going to drive through the night in those conditions. And we hold up in a no-tell motel there in Manassas. And arose bright and early Thursday morning to look outside at, no, not a winter wonderland, but a winter hellscape. I agree, Texas T. Texas T noting that, you know, there's something to be said for crank once in a while, Bob, just saying. Yeah, I blew through all my once in a whiles back in my misspent youth. No crank for me, thanks. Hell, I can't tolerate caffeine, remember? Yeah, and Ron and Raleigh pointing out, Bob, the pilots on those commuter flights are just glorified bus drivers. And I can say in all certainty that I feel a lot more confident about a Greyhound Scenic Cruiser than I do the guy who's flying for Delta and making slightly more than the manager at your local Taco Hell. I feel better about the bus driver. So anyway, we got up, we got on the road. Ron and Raleigh, thank you. I think the bus drivers actually are paid more than the guys in the airplane sometimes. Tim from L.A. noting, hey, Bob, flying on the West Virginia special prop plane, now you know how a kamikaze pilot felt. Kamikaze. What about a high-speed train from West Virginia to D.C.? At least the bullet train would be on their own track. Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? I remember when President Not Sure proposed early in his presidency an upgrade of passenger rail all over the United States of America. And there was, and guess where one of the states that wasn't going to get any money for that was? Yeah, you win. West Virginia, because we got too many mountains. And our tunnels ain't tall enough. And all our John Henrys are gone because, well, job creators and Kenyan Muslim socialism usurpation, right? And thus did begin our sojourn in Winter Storm 4. When did that become a thing? I mean, for as long as I remember, we were naming hurricanes. But this naming winter storms thing, that's a marketing creation of the Weather Channel, isn't it? Because there's no rhyme or reason to it, or there seems not to be. Otherwise, how do you wind up with Thor? That can't just be randomly generated. That was too convenient. Winter Storm Odin. Right? Yeah. Just a second here. I'm trying to get into the Skype interface. We'll get this done in a minute. So, no, there ain't going to be any high-speed train through West Virginia anytime soon. Anyway, that began a hell of a day. We got out onto I-66, and it was a mess. And what made it a mess was the fact that so much rain had fallen the day before. Because that meant they couldn't pre-treat the roads. It would have just, any salt they put down would have just dissolved. And brine, well, it would have just become dilute solution of a little bit of, and who knows about the brine anymore, right? Now, up in a place like Wisconsin, it's leftover cheese-making brine. But just about anywhere else, fracking fluid maybe? Maybe some coal ash? Yeah. Got to be good for a car and even better for you. But it was, I've driven in a lot of this stuff over the years. And this was as nasty as I have lately seen. But it was nasty enough out to Front Royal, and then I-81 just got downright entertaining. I-66 meets I-81 at about Front Royal, Virginia. And by the time we got there, the snow had flown for a while. And it had piled up rather precipitously. And we were we were all flying along at every bit of 20 to 30 miles an hour, and felt like we were making quite the dangerous clip at that. I had this sort of flashback thing to the early days of the automobile and Marvelline screaming, Back it off a bit, Cletus. This 20 miles an hour is pretty damn fast. I don't know if our Model T can handle it. Subject line in email: Shut it, Tom. Glad you made it home safely, Bob. But I have to ask, what is this snow you speak of? It's a lovely day here in the Bay Area, but a bit warm. I had to turn on the air conditioning a few minutes ago. It got up to 83 degrees in the shop. That's Tom, our buddy in the Bay Area, taking a little bit of the workload off of Gerald's shoulders. Shut it, Tom. Sorry for the delays here. I'm trying to get Skype up and going. Moment. Now, see, why am I sitting here fooling with Skype? Well, because it's Friday. It's Friday on the front porch. And that means we will, in about 34 minutes, begin the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And hopefully we'll have lots to talk about based on the absolute cornucopia of information we had presented over the last couple of days in D.C., plus all the stuff that I haven't gotten to over the course of the week, but you're already aware of. So thus, I feel a certain need to get Skype going. And it'll happen here in fairly short order. No, that's just mean, Randy. Randy says, that's okay, Bob. You'll get the last laugh when California runs out of water due to the drought and the 5 million gallons used per well on fracking. Let us hope they come to their senses really well. A lot of people are already at their senses relative to fracking in California. It's just a matter of convincing Governor Brown, right? But it was... It's about 72 miles across that Ron pointing out. Yeah, there's also that whole slide into the ocean thing hanging over Tom's head and everybody else. No. Actually, I think there's some pretty impressive. That's one of those things about California. They take their problems seriously. I saw something. I popped into the chat room a little bit last night. And I noticed Sparky was talking about how they're running ads encouraging people to install solar panels on their homes in California. Yeah, nice, huh? Must be nice. Not for us, by God. Oh, no. More on that later. Moron. Ooh. Yeah. So it was slow sledding. And I'm not kidding about the sledding part. At one point in time, we were stopped on I-81 southbound in Virginia in the Blue Ridge. Just stopped for a while they got somebody out of a ditch. We saw in one spot a FedEx delivery truck that was a tandem. It had jackknifed, and both trailers had decided to go in nearly opposite directions at the very same time. Passenger vehicles were gone, and all there was to do was to try not to have a completely white-knuckled grip on the steering wheel and keep moving forward and kind of forget about the brakes. And all told, it took about 8 hours to go from Manassas, Virginia, to Stanton. Stanton. And I felt like we had flown, given how much of the weight of the vehicle was actually on the ground. We probably had. It didn't stop snowing till about 8 o'clock last night. When we got to Stanton, it was apocalyptic there. Everything was closed. Everything was shut down. Everything except for one little diner. And we went in there to eat, because we hadn't eaten all day. And we did so on the recommendation of a guy at the gas station. Who told us the story of how the local Shoney's had been there for a very long time. And one day, a couple of years ago, the owner of the franchise, and he owned four or five of them, just walked in and looked at, and this was, you know, this was a little, you know, it's a chain, but it's a little local restaurant that had had the same people working there for a very long time. And he walked in, the owner of the franchise did, and said, "You're all out of a job come Monday." This was a Friday. And there were people there who had devoted their lives to this little restaurant. This little, well, franchisee of a chain. And the guy who had worked there the longest, who was cooking there, and his wife, pooled together their savings and invited some of the other people who had been working there for a very, very long time to do the same. And they bought the restaurant. And they've kept it going for 2 years now. And when everything out on that highway was closed last night, even the McDonald's over in the BP station was closed, they were open. And when we heard the story, when I heard the story, I went back to the car and told Ferg, and he said, "Well, I know where we got to go." And we did. And they didn't have anything up and running but their buffet. But they had some baked chicken and some fried chicken. And they had some ribs. They had some brown beans and cooked cabbage and cornbread. Some okra and tomatoes and some soups and, their, of course, the salads. And to us, it tasted like ambrosia. And I asked our server about the story I'd been told, and she said, "Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right." Met the owner, told him we came in specifically because of the story, and he just beamed. Said, well, we're mighty glad to have you here. And said, I wish we was offering the full menu, but it was just a little too much to... We got a skeleton crew going today just to get opened. And so we just did the buffet, but, you know, enjoy yourself. And so we sat there and watched it snow. Went down around zero overnight. And we got up this morning and came on. Gave the road crews a little time to get a little more work done out on I-81, and they needed the time. But they had done an amazing job. They'd let the snow blow itself out and did a darn fine job of clearing it off. And when we got down to I-64, it looked like a snowflake had not been allowed to hit that road. And it was beautiful. It was an absolutely beautiful drive back into West Virginia. Of course, the very instant that we crossed into West Virginia from Virginia, the road reverted to its previous ice state. Because here in West by Cole, Virginia, where Cole don't keep the lights on, they just quite couldn't get the roads cleared. And so it was an icy, slushy mess, and for a little bit there, I was afraid we were going to be back into the Odyssey part of the drive. It eventually got a little bit better. It was not a cloud in the sky. And even though it was, 11 degrees outside by then, the sun was still doing what the sun does. Imagine that. Dark-colored pavement sucking up sunlight, transforming the energy of the sun into heat at 11 degrees. It would almost be enough to make you think that solar energy works. Almost. But not in West Virginia. I see, in the previous days after we left, there had been a warm-up, and a lot of the snow, well, almost all the snow that was on the ground here, melted. And thus we had catastrophic flooding in many parts of West Virginia. When he gets in, our buddy Devin can probably tell us a little bit about that. I'm sure Gerald knows some about it, too. And power was out to tens of thousands of homes. And at least in one place, I saw where a huge hunk of road had simply collapsed and fallen away into what looked like a giant hole in the ground. We call it here in the hills undermining. There's a reason that's a pejorative term. You can say... Congressman Godspeed's bill to provide health care to every American was undermined by Republican greed. Now, when you see what undermining does, well, think sinkhole. And so it was that I was thinking about that attack on solar energy that our brand-new teabagging legislature done perpetrated. You may recall in the days immediately following the arrival of Hurricane Katrina that a nasty old Christian by the name of John Starve Hagee declared that Katrina hit New Orleans as punishment by God for the presence in New Orleans of drag queens and homosexuals. That was, if not meaner than, it was every bit as mean as Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell back on September 11th, 2001 or thereabouts, nodding their little heads and agreeing that God had lifted the veil of protection from the United States and allowed planes to fly into buildings in New York and Washington, D.C. and into the ground in western Pennsylvania on account of lesbians and homosexuals and liberals and people for the American way. That's just some mean shit. Right? And it was pretty mean to say that people were drowned in the lower Ninth Ward, all on account of a drag performer somewhere in the Vieux Carré of New Orleans. But I was thinking about that as people were being knocked out of power, and holes were opening in the ground, and rivers. The Great Kanawha River just about came out of its banks. That doesn't happen very often. I thought about all these things. And then I thought about the anti-solar power bill that the brand spanking new, shiny, urine-colored, snake flag-waving, teabagger legislature had just passed. And I got to thinking, if it's sauce for the goose, it's sauce for the gander, isn't it? Maybe our shiny new teabagging, urine-colored, snake-flagging, waving legislature might want to stop tweaking the... What? All-powerful creator of the universe by disparaging his, her, or its creation, to wit, the sun. Because, of course, if West Virginia is doing something similar to what California is doing, namely encouraging people to put solar panels on their roofs instead of passing bills to punish them for doing so, then tens of thousands of people would not have been out of power in the middle of a goddamn blizzard. Because a distributed grid is a smart grid, as opposed to a dumb centralized grid. I'm thinking I may have to actually put that down in words. Of course, there's been a whole lot of stupid going on here in the legislature. Going to be getting on the road tomorrow. I assume that it's still on. Going to be getting on the road tomorrow and driving down to Charleston, where the West Virginia workers' rally is going to be taking place. I get it. A harm to one is a harm to all. I think a few other folks here do as well. Here, I mean, not here in the Horn community. I mean, here in West Virginia. And I hope to see some of them tomorrow. Because this will not be a better state if the right wing legislature gets its way. This is a tough state as it is. And it's only going to get tougher. It would would be nice to see more and more solar panels on the roofs of West Virginia homes and businesses. But because they take their marching orders from Alec, who takes their marching orders from a couple of punk-ass billionaires named Charles and David Koch and their associated vermin friends, it ain't going to happen. Leaving the only way forward to get completely off the grid and maybe finally once and for all break the legalized monopoly of Appalachian power. But that's mighty expensive and hard to do. So that's the adventure of the last couple of days. You know, the thing is that even in the midst of what was a very stressful ride, there's no getting around how beautiful it was. Even in the midst of the storm, it was beautiful. Slicker than Al Snot on a doorknob, but beautiful. Now, I also want to remind you, if you're anywhere near here, and for some of you who aren't, if you just want to come for the hell of it, on March the 16th, at 11 o'clock in the morning, March 16th is a Monday, it's a week from Monday, we are hoping to have a large number of people at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection for what is being called the People's Foot Rally. The people are putting our foot down and demanding that no more mountaintop removal permits be issued in this state. Not because mountaintop removal is an esoteric blight on our landscape. It is. Not because mountaintop removal poisons birds, bugs, beetles, and butterflies. It does. Not because mountaintop removal causes ungodly deformations and death in the aquatic population. It does that, too. But because with over 24 peer-reviewed, published science articles in respected journals having now been published, it is a known fact that mountaintop removal is poisoning the human population of the areas where it is practiced. And so the leaders of the AIKE campaign, and particularly my friend and colleague Bo Webb, have called for this rally, this protest, in association with the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and Christians for the Mountains and the Highlands Conservancy. Coal River Mountain Watch, as usual, the point of the spear leading the way on this. And, yes, even the Sierra Club. Sierra's been very, very helpful on this one, and they deserve credit for it. 11 o'clock on the 16th, we're going to rally and demand an end to the ongoing assault on human life in West Virginia's mountaintop removal sacrifice zone. And you are welcome to attend. You're invited to attend. Hopefully by the 16th of March and the 15th and the 14th and the 17th and the 18th, the travel days, hopefully by then it'll look a lot more like spring around here. and we won't have any more freak climate change blizzards. And the more people we have there, the better off we'll be. The People's Foot, March 16, 2015, 11 o'clock, at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Pollution, Permitting, Protection, in the Kanawha City portion of Charleston, West Virginia. I'll be there. And many others will be as well. Shucks, the first 100 people or so get a free T-shirt. Probably have some music, have some speechifying. And who knows, I may even broadcast the whole darn thing to the wide, wide world. May even do some video, depending on how the bandwidth goes. Yeah, it would be great if folks, if there could be a contingent from the Horn Family Commune congregation there as well. Maybe give it some consideration. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Subject line, no solar in West Virginia? Bob, let me get this straight. The state government in West Virginia is banning solar power. Is that right? What about freedom and all that? Well, no, Robert. They're not banning it outright. I mean, I'm sure Alec would like to do that, and if Alec wants to do that, they will send marching orders down to their various and sundry little urine-colored snake flag-waving teabagging legislatures. But for now, what they want to do is punish people. People are free to... Freedom! People are free to have solar power in West Virginia, according to our legislature, as long as they pay a tax, a penalty, for not burning good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, coal-fired electricity. And of course, they came up with the Alec people with their masters, the punk ass billionaires Charles and David Koch, came up with a name to call people who use solar energy and remain attached to the grid. They call them free riders. You'll notice that's not far from free loaders. See, and they make the argument that, well, it takes a lot of extra work to deal with that electricity that them solar people is a giving away for free. Yeah. Dicks. Really? That's still a dream here, though. But solar panels it'd be even cooler if we could have a little domestic wind turbine too, here at the Kincaid Mansion. Bank of batteries, and just send the world's most biting get stuff letter to the CEO of Appalachian Power. Recently found out that this February has resulted in what can only be referred to as a horrifyingly monumental power bill here at the mansion. And frankly, I haven't said anything about fundraising. I wanted to send out a special thanks, though, this evening, to the people who helped out so generously while we were on the road. we'd have been totally, completely, utterly, and absolutely screwed without them. Thank you to Carol and Barbie. Thank you to Thomas, Jay Cruzen. Thank you to Thomas and Philip. Thank you very kindly to Jenny. Thank you to John, making sure that I hit all the... get all the folks included who need to be included. Because we really would have been in a horrible bind without you. Thank you to Kristen and Carl and Mick and for the Earthy. It was very well, it was decidedly, desperately important that y'all jumped in there while, you know, on days when we weren't even on the air. Gerald noting, well, Bob, if you insist on heated toilet seats in the hangar of the Gulfstream 5, then you're just going to have a big power bill. Just say it. Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, between that and the automated back massager in the Maybach, well, there are just some creature comforts you don't want to give up. Ron, up in Canada, pointing out, Bob, studies were recently published that indicate that West Virginia is sitting on top of the biggest geothermal area in the eastern U.S. Do mineral rights include thermal rights? No. What I think the question you want to ask, Ron, is do surface rights include thermal rights? And I'll bet you that the answer of the West Virginia Coal Association is, well, hell no! Heat's a mineral, ain't it? Yeah. Robert pointing out, taxing people with solar panels, what a stupid idea. Wasn't having to pay an unfair tax the reason your country got started? So can you have solar panels and not pay the tax if you're not connected to the grid? That's the only way you can do it. But even then, there are regulations regarding how much solar energy one may have. That one may generate only X amount of wattage of solar power in a for a single home. Kind of reminds me of Sharon Stone. What are you going to do, arrest me for solar paneling? Well, by God, these bought and paid for coal whores probably would throw him under the jail. Ain't no solar panels down there, but so no, we haven't. I haven't said a lot about fundraising this evening in the first to pay. So there's that. We try to raise $150 an evening, and by the way, two things on the table this evening. One, News Ninja Carol Baker told me that she will continue the Hooterville Holler gift basket offer. You recall, it's a Hooterville Holler gift basket and a gallon of mud. And he will meet, that is, he will double the first $50 that comes in this evening. Thank you, Dr. John. Thank you very kindly. Dr. John is in there every month with his challenge. So hopefully in the next 2 hours, we will at least come up with $50, which Dr. John will then kindly turn into $100. And if we've got some folks who'd like to take Carol up on her Hooterville Holler gift basket, well, the PayPal interface is right there at headonradionetwork.com. Under the tab, contribute. And remember, some of the nosier aspects of that you don't have to fill out. What's your employer's shoe size? You can leave that blank. And it is, we're an hour into the program now, and it's time to start thinking about the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you have never participated, the way you do that is to call, not call, but send a contact request on Skype. Skype is so easy to use. To Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc. Sparky is, of course, the longtime moderator of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. I had a chance to tell Mike a little bit more about how that all works. And he was tickled to hear about it. But send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, and he will add you to the group, and you will, voila, be included in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is Friday on the front porch. So we'll take a couple of minutes and get that all fired up. We've got some conversationalists already in the queue. And we'll go forward from there. Again, your participation over at the Contribute tab is badly needed at this point in time. And much appreciated. This is Friday on the Front Porch. This is Conversation Radio, listener-supported. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. And yet, eventually, I did find my way home, that is. 5 minutes past the hour this Friday on the front porch on the horn. And let us, without further ado, let us run straight over to the Horn Molloy Skype chat group where Sparky is standing by. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob. You know that the stream is down.
I saw that message from you, but I'm not seeing any buffering here or anything.
Well, everybody in here couldn't hear you on their streams.
Oh, but you hear me on Skype, right?
Right. We're
okay,
cool.
So that part we've got.
Yeah.
Has it persisted? I mean,
we can ask the chat room.
I'm doing that now. Hey, I wonder if the server burped or what. Because like I said, I see nothing here on the interface here.
Well, my internet radio, it gives me a 404 error message.
Did you try you never know exactly how people are listening, so
the others here are listening in different ways.
Okay.
Gerald was on TuneIn. Somebody was on TuneIn, I think.
I'm on TuneIn. It just keeps going connecting, and it won't connect.
I just stream it to a media player, so it's down there, too.
Okay. All right, stand by for a second, all right?
Okay, I'm going to add one more person.
I'll be right back here. I'm going to deliberately shut the stream down and restart it. Stand by, everybody. Got the recording going again. And we'll see if anything happens there. In the meantime, let me go over to the Gizmo line. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the porch. Is that you, Kevin and or Bill?
Yep, this is Kevin, and I am Bill.
You're getting two for the price of one here, Bob.
Hot diggity.
How are you guys doing that tag team thing?
Three-way calling.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of thinking maybe it's possible to put a couple three-way calling people on here if we do it right. Someone were to call me and wanted to get on, then they call me, and then they call Bob, and there'd be...
Yeah, but there's only one Gizmo box.
I know, but with the three-way calling, that's how I'm able to get Bill on here and you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if someone were to call me and or Bill and then call you on the other line and then click over, just a thought, but...
And that'll contribute each of them 3-1, Bob, or PB Blaster. Me being an old Browns fan, I'll take the PB Blaster.
I know the 3-1. I'm not sure about the Blaster.
Yeah, well, PB, man, that was Paul Brown. And I'll never... You know, I never stopped liking the man because he sure knew how to approach in his day. He sure knew how to produce winners. I know him and Jimmy Brown did not get along, but that's because Paul had worked with the older guys, Marion Motley, a great throwback and a blocking back from Otto, and Jim Brown did not like to block. He sure could run. With the exception of when he had to go up against Sam Huff, you know, your alma mater player. And I've heard some talk they want to draft an end or a wide receiver, as they call him now, out of West Virginia.
Sam, there was no love lost between those two, without a doubt.
That brings me to something, Bob, I want to mention. Jeremy might be interested in this if he's listening. A wrestler named Bill DeMott just got, well, he resigned, but he got fired, in essence, from the WWE because he was treating the other wrestlers he was training, making racist and sexist remarks and harassment and such. And one of the girls that spoke up put something online today at the Washington Post that I thought was really interesting. She said, it was really hard for me to speak out on this, but it would have been harder to remain silent because silence makes us all losers. And I just thought that was pretty poignant because that's the truth. If we remain silent, we all lose, no matter what the subject is.
Yep.
Are you guys there?
Yeah, I'm troubleshooting at the moment, so y'all talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, so we got.
Well,
you
fascinate me, buddy, because
carry the stream. Haley, you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, good evening.
Well, good evening, good evening, everyone.
You got anything to share from Arkansas?
Oh, well, we have a for real, not made up scandal, but a real scandal brewing here in Arkansas. There is a conservative state representative from Northwest Arkansas whom adopted some children a few years back, and then he didn't want a couple of the children, so he gave them, instead of giving them back to DHS, which is the agency in Arkansas that does adoptions through the state, he decides to rehome the children through another couple.
Yeah, that's a new verb we've all learned. Rehoming.
That's rehoming.
Abandonment.
That's what it amounts to. Abandonment. And what they were, but anyway, this is the story gets even more interesting. This quote unquote state representative, this third party, this couple, the man ends up, after he gets two of the children, including he gets a hold of these children, and then this couple sends them to a third couple. It's when the third couple gets to, children, that the girl, the six-year-old girl, has an accusation about the second couple, and the male, I won't call him a man because I don't consider him a man. He worked for Justin Harris's private school, and he is now a convicted sex offender. After he was convicted of raping a six-year-old girl.
And now he's running from the press.
I was going to say, has he announced?
He's running from the press. He had a presser today. I've not seen all the details. It was while I was at work. And he is, he's blaming, no, the worst part, he's blaming the victims instead of taking responsibility and resigning.
Standard GOP procedure, right?
Right. I've not had time to read all the details yet. This is going to be a nasty little story. And we've had some nasty little politicians in Arkansas come out. And this is not the first time this guy has done something shady. About 4 years ago, he was under investigation from the state because he was taking money from for a preschool, and he was running, it was taking taxpayer money, and he was running a Christian preschool with taxpayer money.
Yep.
And running some rogue curricula. And so this is a nasty little story coming out of Arkansas. And I would recommend going to the Arkansas Times. Well, it's the alternative newspaper in Little Rock. It's the cover story this week. That was a story that broke this whole scandal open. And the story came out Tuesday night. Wednesday night, the for-profit media, local TV, was starting to pick up on this. And, it's, of course, it's now gone viral.
I'll be back around in a couple. I'm working just... I'm hearing from Ben, so stand by. Yeah. Keep talking.
No, I read the whole story that was first broken by the Arkansas paper and then caught a few videos where he ducked out the back door after he promised the press he was going to address them after a committee meeting, and he ducked out the back door. And the response he's been able to give them is Bible scripture.
Yeah, a passage from Isaiah, wasn't it?
Yeah, nothing about...
No, you're reading your Bible back again, Errol. That's not what conservative Bible says. In conservative Bible, it says, come on, let's go make them little children suffer.
Oh, sorry, I don't speak fucktard.
What was the scripture that he gave?
I don't know.
And the unrighteous shall be eaten up by a lion, or some sort of silly shit like that.
And now he claims that he and his wife are being persecuted.
But this is all part of the standard script, isn't it, Carol?
I reckon.
And you shall know them by, for they will be persecuted for my name's sake. No, asshole, you should be prosecuted, not persecuted. You should be prosecuted in your own name's sake for letting a little girl get raped.
Well, but then the rapists rehomed the kids again, / abandoned, with another family, and apparently DHS is happy enough with where they are.
Are
we talking about kittens here or people?
No, this would be people.
Come on, rehome. This is bullshit.
This is people. This is
I was being sarcastic. I read the story. I'm sorry. I forgot to proceed with my normal sarcasm.
Bad. Yo, thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. I mean, it's unbelievable that this is happening. Yeah, in this country at this day and age. But apparently, you know. Well, never mind. Nothing really surprises me much anymore.
But honest to God, had anybody heard that phrase rehomed before this story broke?
Only with animals, pets.
I've never heard it. Not in this context.
That's because there's no reasonable context when you're talking about human beings. It's abandonment. It's just a nice way of saying they didn't fit into my little Christian home, so we done give them away to somebody else.
Well, okay. Can we engage in a little bit of just rampant speculation? Well, not even speculation, just inquiry. I think it's okay to ask questions, isn't it?
Sure.
How... in a God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian home, do two precious little girls aged, 3 and 6, how do they not work out? I mean, this is, after all, the Christian right, isn't it? These are the people who believe that every time a sperm meets, handshakes with an egg, it's got to result in a baby, because that baby is precious.
You know they loves the preborns, but once their little asses hit the earth, they don't give a crap about them anymore.
Okay, so we now have an answer. Ben tells me software in a bad state rebooting should be about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
So do please continue to converse whilst I tell the world.
Well, what is the newspaper that you were talking about, the alternative Arkansas newspaper?
It's the Arkansas Times. It's a weekly paper out of Little Rock, and they have a printed edition, and it's also on the internet.
Can you put the?
Yeah, I will. Link in the chat. I'll definitely get it up here in a second.
Yeah, it's in my Instapaper app.
The story was in Wunkette, and Wunkette had a link to the Arkansas Times.
Yeah, that's where I read it, was the Wunkette article.
But I wanted to read what the Arkansas Times said, so I clicked the link and went and read the whole thing. They got it right. I mean, Wunkette got it right.
Well, did the Arkansas Democrat Gazette pick this up and run with it, or was it too hot, Haley?
Well, they have a hard paywall. That's the statewide daily paper.
Yeah.
They have a hard paywall, although they're talking about loosening it somewhat, but you can't access, you can only see like a couple of sentences in a story. It says, to read the rest of this, subscribe.
Yep. So, Carol, you were saying the Wunkette? I don't get it.
Wunkette is a website.
Oh, okay.
Wonkette.com.
Wonkette. Wunkette.
I put it in the chat.
Let me see.
Go after it, Larry.
Okay. The name of the story.
What happened
there? Someone just dropped out.
I don't know. He's Mike quit or something.
Who's?
Haley's, I think. Oh. I think he was talking. Oh, there. He posted.
I muted myself by accidentally. The link's in the chat room, and the Skype chat room now.
Okay.
They've done this with Russian adopted children, too, where they'd come over and the kids had a lot of issues and the families just basically gave up or dumped them on someone else.
I was under the impression that this was an international adoption.
Well, there was a lot of that. I know, I don't forget where I heard about it or saw heard advertising to do this. A lot of Americans, families who wanted, for some reason, they wanted Chinese children. And I don't think they were, you know, I hate to use the term Asian, but what else do you say? You know?
Bill, a lot of the problem was that there were not a lot of American children available for adoption. I mean, babies. Like, they wanted white babies, and when they couldn't get those...
Yeah.
They went to China because of the one-child rule. There were all of these girls available in China. So that's why they went there, because of the availability.
Thank you. That makes perfect sense to me now, why it happened, yeah.
Yeah, because they all wanted boys.
Okay, I'm being told that, by the way, I'm being told that the stream is back.
Yay.
So if some of you guys would check and see, maybe.
I'll hit my radio right here. It's up.
All right. The stream is back live. Thanks to everybody for your patience.
Yeah,
there's a great sigh of relief going up in the chat room, and hopefully on the I'll get some hey it's backs on email as well.
Well, in that case, I can do my solar report there if you want.
Oh, absolutely.
So here's how my solar adventure started. I bring up Facebook one day, and I can't get into Facebook. I mean, it won't the page won't load, and somehow it's picked up that I've got ad block. So I undo the ad block on Facebook, and then I can see Facebook again. Well, I'm scrolling through there the other day, and I see Jason Bright likes this page about zero down for solar in California. So I click on it, and I get the information, and I send it in. I get a phone call, and I get a solar contractor that calls me up. And his first questions were, what's your meter number and what's your account number? I said, okay. So, because he can, since I have a smart meter, he can go to PG&E and get all my bills from the meter number going back a year. So they put up a prospectus, I guess you call it, of my yearly use of electricity, and they come up with an average of $150 a month. So then they already looked at where my house is on Google Earth and know that I can't put roof mount solar in because my house is fairly old and I got too many trees around. So I told them, when I talked to the guy, I want ground mount. And so he looked at the Google map and he mapped out a place, and they weren't too far off from where I wanted it. When the salesman showed up, he had the whole thing laid out for me. He says, okay, here's the cost. It was like $22,000. Here's how, zero down. Your credit good? Yeah. Zero down. Here's what happens. Your average PG&E bill is $150 a month. Here's what you have to pay on the solar loan. Is $130 a month. You won't have an electric bill from PG&E anymore, so you'll only be paying $130 a month. And you pay this for 12 years, and then you will own the solar panels. And you'll have free electricity.
How do you say no to that?
When he said, I'm looking at the paper, and he goes, service change, and he goes and looks at my service, and he said, on the house, and he goes, oh, you'll have to fix this. But I took him in the man cave. We had our little meeting in the man cave on the big old welding layout table that's in the middle of the shop. And so I pointed him over to my sign. It says, electrical work done by Union Electric since IBEW Local 442, and it's got the big IBEW bug on it. And when he said $2,500 to rewire your service change, and I said, I think I can do that cheaper than $2,500 myself, and I'll call you guys back when I got it done. So I know where I want to put it and everything, so I going to do all the work that I can and see what
Well, not to be too much of a paranoid ninny, Sparky, but did asking you for that information about your meter and all of that, did that not make you a little nervous?
Oh, hell no.
From an identity protection standpoint and stuff, I mean,
because they have to get the information. They're partnered with PG&E.
Okay, so they checked out as legit on the front end.
Yeah, they're registered with PG&E to put these solar panels in. So they get a printout of my electric usage for the last year.
So hold on a minute. They're partnered with PG&E. PG&E then is getting a piece of the action, right?
Well, yeah, they're getting all the power off your any excess power that you don't consume. They're getting
right. Just bear with me here. Bear with me.
Okay.
Does do photons arriving from the sun on planet Earth in California behave differently from photons arriving from the sun on planet Earth in West Virginia behave differently?
Oh, they shouldn't.
No, they don't. But so why
except
wouldn't
they don't? They don't come down through snow that easy.
But why wouldn't say Appalachian Power want to have lots of free electricity too? Because see that I mean, and this is the larger point. Alec has convinced these urine-colored snake flag waivers that somehow or another solar energy is going to be a burden to Appalachian Power and not free energy. You see my point? I mean,
yeah.
That's the depth of the stupid that obtains within teabaggery. And the depth of the greed that exists within Alec, which is, of course, funded by a couple of those two punk-ass billionaires, Chuck and Dave Koch, who want nothing to do with anything that isn't comprised of hydrocarbons.
There is a website I looked at earlier today that shows you the goes by state, has a big state map of the United States, and you can click on it and you can see what kind of solar power initiative things or rebates you can get. Click on West Virginia, 0. Zilch. Click on California, and you get this big old readout of all these power companies all over the state, cities. Everybody's giving rebates out if you live in their area, and it lists how much you can get. And it just kept, the whole list in California just kept going and going and going because they put all this, that one law we put through was it SB 32 or whatever, and then they wanted to try and repeal it. It's kind of like the Green Energy Act of California. I mean, the polluters are paying, and they're taking this money that they're getting from the polluters, and they're putting it back into renewable energy through rebates, and they're going to take a lot of the money and help pay for the damn high-speed rail, too.
Oh, my God, Sparky, you're talking about cap and trade. That's evil. That's a job killer.
Yeah.
California economy is going to collapse any day now.
That's right. I can't keep us.
California economy is booming. I asked a guy once he found out I was ex-union and everything. I said, "How much you pay your installers?" And he goes, $30 an hour. And I go, "Well, that still ain't union wage. Did it get any benefits?" Well, no. But it might turn around, he said.
Meanwhile, I'm reminded via the Angry Indian that the urine-colored snake flag-waving teabaggers in Charleston have spent a whole bunch of time on the West Virginia Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. You know, and I wonder if these geniuses could be convinced they might want to pass a law about the West Virginia, and call it the West Virginia Pain-Capable Already Born Adopted Rehomed Children Act.
God.
I hate them.
Don't give them any ideas.
Well, no, Bob. They're too busy creating jobs, remember? They're going to get all these jobs.
Yeah. Those jobs that aren't that don't pay unfairly high wages.
That's right. I'm surprised they got any of this other legislation through with all the jobs bills they were. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
While I was gone, I mean, I admit, Gerald, I kind of lost track. Where are we vis-a-vis constitutional carry?
What's that?
Where are we with the constitutional carry bill?
You know, I don't know for sure. I think I think it's gone through both houses. I think. I need to look that up. I don't remember which one that is.
And would, you know, would Gert have the nerve to veto such a stupid piece of legislation? I was
not Second Amendment and all that.
There's hope. There's hope. I was talking to a fella the other day, and you know, just a run of the mill everyday working West Virginian. And he asked me. He said, "What in the world is that?" Hey, Kim.
Yeah.
What in God's name are you doing?
Oh, you guys were talking about, sorry about that, you were talking about, you know, women's rights and pro-choice and whatnot.
Yeah.
There's a protest going on right now at a Planned Parenthood.
At one or for one?
At one right now. There's people with a bunch of signs. I'm going to try to get closer.
Okay. Well, you're generating a right smart amount of noise there. Sounded like there was a couple of wildcats having it out.
You're gonna do a live remote?
I gotta go park my car somewhere.
But this fellow looks at me and says, "Who would I contact to tell?" He said, "I'm mad." I said, "Why?" He said. "These idiots down in Charleston are trying to make it so anybody in the world can just go buy a gun and start carrying it around."
I said, concealed.
I said, "You don't like that?" He said, "Well, hell no." He said, "I got my permit. I know how to handle a weapon." And, you know, you kind of got to leave it lay there. You know what I mean? He said, "But doesn't everybody in the world need to just go out and buy a gun, stick it in their waistband and start walking around with it? People gonna get hurt."
Well,
and I thought, well, damn.
You know, at least with the permit, you know that they've taken some sort of safety class, and you know that they're at least 21 years of age.
Yeah.
The way this is written, an 18-year-old, which I don't even think that, I don't know how that's going to work, because doesn't federal law say you must be 21 years old to possess a handgun?
Yeah, that's how that works. See, this is backdoor nullification, Gerald. So then we'll have us a lawsuit against the Kenyan Muslim usurper and his Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and I'm sure
our New Jersey, West Virginia Attorney General will take up. I'll be all giddy about going to court over.
Yeah, and the Kenyan Muslim usurper is a trampling our Second Amendment rights of people who's 18, 19, and 20.
Meanwhile, out here in Colorado, they're all upset because marijuana's legal, and they're suing the state because the state's not obeying federal law. It's bad marijuana, but good guns. No problem. The hypocrisy there.
Well, they don't run short on it, that's for sure. But, you know, you might remember this, Bob. I don't know. Many years ago, there was a sporting goods chain, sort of a chain here in West Virginia, called Angler's Roost.
I do indeed.
And they were in Somersville, and they were right down the road from me here in Charleston.
Ginseng and stuff like that. Sold
guns. Like a little mini Cabela's.
Yeah.
Really. Maybe even better in some ways. If I'm not mistaken, the story I remember, it's been a while, that's pretty much what put them out of business, was selling handgun ammunition to an 18-year-old. And if I remember the story correctly, he bought a rifle, which seems like it's a Camp 9, a Ruger Camp 9, which is a rifle that shoots 9mm handgun ammunition. And they sold him the ammunition and he ended up killing somebody or a couple people, and that pretty much did them in.
Yeah, they were gone pretty quick.
I mean, there were other issues there, but I think that was the end of the end right there. And I wish I could remember the story, and I'll try to look it up, but digging up old stories like that sometimes is difficult.
Yeah, but I just the idea because I know some 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and the
yeah.
And the idea I even care about some 18- and 19-year-olds, and the idea of them and this is not I'm trying not to be an old fart here. All right, hey, get off my lawn, clouds. I don't want to channel my inner McCain. But the idea of the kid who's just not real, I mean, been driving for a couple of years, but not real well, and gets his first paycheck, it's time to go buy my Freedom Protector, Pa. That's right, son. Huh? I mean, the guy I was talking to is right. This is not going to end well.
I'm kind of curious as was there that big of a demand for it? I mean,
there's no demand at all.
It seems like these guys are passing laws that nobody wants.
Well, somebody wants it. The National Rifle Association, in conjunction with ALEC, wants it.
West Virginia Citizens Defense League, or whatever that they're the right ones lobbying.
And they want it because ultimately the goal is to completely remove any regulation whatsoever of firearms in this country and turn the whole country into a free fire zone. This is designed solely and completely to be the basis of litigation. And that's all.
That's SB 347.
Well, to get a permission to carry a gun, you had to go through all kind of testing before. You know, they did a background check on you that was pretty intense.
Yeah,
it was very hard to get a license to carry in Ohio.
It's called the Creating Firearms Act of 2015 and Last Action. This is from the legislature's website. I went to the House Judiciary on the 27th. So evidently it's still in committee. Yeah.
I'm glad I'm far, far away from you people.
It may not make it out of committee.
Well, there's our first you people of the evening.
You people. Yeah, you people. Oh, well.
Well, you know what? I'll say this much, and I'll probably be misunderstood for it, but if West Virginia had a higher population of people of color, this bill would never have been introduced.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, you're right. No doubt in my mind.
But and the other goal, of course, is they want everybody gunned up. Because, and I admit, this probably means that I need a little vacation. It ain't gonna happen, so shut up. Here's how it goes. Liberal me. Progressive me. Anti-handgun me. Has considered this bill and thought, And I don't think I'm completely at sea on this because I've heard Malloy talk about it. You know, Malloy went and got his concealed carry permit years and years ago because of the threats that were being made on his life. And he's talked about it from time to time. But I find myself thinking, well, if everybody else is going to be carrying, maybe I should too. And then I stop and go, wait, what the are you thinking? And I realize how enticing that argument's going to wind up being for people. I mean, Ferg and I were in Bob Evans over in Fayetteville just the other day. I'm sorry, corporate restaurant. I'll burn in hell for it. And I went over, another friend of mine who is a local chef was in there too, which kind of shocked me. But I walked over to say hi to him. And at that particular moment, the hostess walked a couple, a man and a woman, past us, behind me, and seated them at the next booth behind my friend. And as he sat down, I noticed that he had a Freedom Protector on his hip. And the hostess turned around, and I looked at her, and she looked at me and gave me this rolling eyes kind of look and an unvoiced, what the, you know, and walked on past. And so on my list now is call Bob Evans' home office. Tell them I will not return to that restaurant until such time as they clearly state that people with firearms are not welcome in the establishment. And you know, there were children in there. There were senior citizens in there. I was in there. I'm a klutz. What if I trip over a molecule on the carpet and stumble into the guy and the goddamn thing goes off? And somebody gets hurt.
Or he fears for his life.
Or you know, what if somebody looks at him wrong and he fears for his life? But either one of those are, I guess, kind of long shots. But if the news is to be believed, and I do, mostly, I guess, then what is far more likely is that he'll go to wash his hands or something, and a little soap bubble will land on his holster, and he'll go to knock that soap bubble off, and accidentally fire the gun. Or he'll bump into the counter and accidentally fire the gun. Or he'll get his pendulous bulk up out of the booth and accidentally fire the gun. Because accidentally fire the gun seems to be the order of the day with these things.
Well, and automatic just always bothered me, Bob.
What's that, Bill?
Automatics. People carrying automatics, they dropped the damn thing, it would go off because they had a damn bullet in the chamber.
Right, and I'm sure this jackass had one in the chamber, too, because, you know, that's the only way you can be ready. That's the only way you can be a good guy with a gun.
Well, yeah, what good is it if it's unloaded? Like a car with no gas in it.
Right.
I've heard it all before. I live here too, Bob.
Yeah, I like to see you after college.
And then there's just that basic issue of why are you such a chicken shit coward that you can't go and sit down to the Bob Evans for some blueberry compote pancake crepes? And some sizzling link sausages without carrying a peacemaker. Because this won't
be carrying a gun at all times was another thing that bothered me, Bob. I tried to avoid it. I'm going to work. I'm coming out at 3 in the morning, and there's some bullies that want to... I had it happen to me dead out, and they wanted to... They kicked the crap out of me because the bar owners threw them out. I didn't own the goddamn place. I should have financially, but I didn't. Wish I had owned it. Would have retired 20 years ago, you know.
Yeah, but that's a different circumstance. That's not, you know, if you were telling me that story, Bill, and you said, you know, and I walked into the restaurant because I was afraid to go in there to eat dinner without a gun, I'd say, I think, you know, maybe you got some paranoia problems. It's not the same thing. Lottie in the chat room pointing out, or the guy will leave the gun in the bathroom by mistake and some kid will accidentally fire the gun.
Yeah, I've heard about 10 of those things happening left and right. Well, who do I hear them from? Oh, yeah, you. I hear the stupidity these people exhibit.
And I know, you know, I know out in Hooterville, I'm sure Carol sees this stuff.
All the time. It was a couple months back, some little old lady tapped me on the shoulder and asked me if I could reach something from the top shelf. And I turned around and she had a Freedom Protector strapped to her thigh. And I just looked at her and I was like, you are at the Hooterville Shopping, Rob. What in the hell do you need a gun for? Well, it's my right. Just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's my argument. Just because you have the right doesn't mean it's a good idea. But.
And I don't shop at the Hooterville Shop and Rob anymore.
Oh, I am.
Well, it ought to be the safest place with everybody packing heat.
No, actually, I shop in Independence on my way home from work because they have a law there that says that you can't go into a crowded establishment with your Freedom Protector on.
Oh, well, the West Virginia legislature would have to do away with silly local ordinances like that. I mean, we can't let the health department determine whether it's safe for people to smoke in a public building or not. We can't let the local towns and counties determine whether they want an ordinance or a law that says it's illegal to discriminate against LGBT people.
I'm going to ask a silly question and ask Carol, where is Hooterville? And what is Hooterville?
I'm sorry, Larry. I'm in the witness protection program.
Hooterville was the little town near which Oliver Wendell Douglas and his lovely wife Lisa Douglas lived in Green Acres. It is not the county seat. The county seat is Pixley.
Oh, okay. So I guess Carol's not going to mention where she actually lives. Okay.
I'm in Missouri, Larry.
What's that?
It's Missouri.
I'm in Missouri. It's all Hooterville.
Oh, okay, fine, thank you.
In fact, this whole region of the country is nothing but Hootervilles.
I know, the only time I've been in a store and saw a guy with a gun, there's a badge right next to that holster.
Yeah, and you know, that guy, you at least feel like you've maybe got 3-1 odds, is not going to go ape shit at any given moment. Unless it's the Ferguson Police Department and you're black.
No, this is an undercover cop and just took his top coat off, you know, his suit coat off to go into the grocery store. But he can't leave his gun anywhere, so he has to carry it in it. So to put people at ease, you have to have that badge right next to that gun here in California.
I have an acquaintance.
You're in plain clothes.
Sorry. I have an acquaintance at school whose son is a police officer, and he's trying to say that this orientation that people have toward the police, especially in Berkeley, as being dangerous is vastly overdrawn, and the majority of police are trained well, and they behave properly, and they never have to fire a gun.
Well, I don't think that stands up to empirical inquiry anymore.
Okay.
Consider the story that Chris Hayes spent his entire program on last night. The man on death row in Texas, who he was convicted of killing he was a black man convicted of killing a white woman. And the killer was almost certainly her white police officer boyfriend, who framed, or helped to frame at least, the black guy who didn't do it.
Okay.
I was watching that in the hotel room last night, and the minute I heard him say, and her boyfriend was a police officer, I said, well, we got the killer. And it turns out, I mean, he's doing time right now for raping another woman.
Yeah.
And so it's for anybody really who has a functional, non-fantasy-based understanding of race relations in the United States, you go, okay, dude finds out that she's having an affair with the black guy, and he kills her. The black guy wants to go into court and say, well, I was having an affair with her, and that's why the DNA is there. But he understands that he's being tried in freaking Texas, and if he says, I was having an affair with a white woman, hell, they'll send him to the death house just for that, whether he's guilty or not.
Yep.
America.
Good Lord.
Yeah, because my orientation toward police right now is when they act like authority and they act like bullies, and their orientation is to act like bullies, and they try to get the upper hand wherever they can, and then they sit around when somebody tries to resist them, and then they cry that they're the ones that are being victimized, and the other person was the aggressor. That's my orientation toward police officers. Maybe that's my own neurosis about dealing with authority figures coming out.
Hey, can I ask you something, Larry?
Yeah?
You ever got stopped rolling around Berkeley?
Yes.
What did you do?
You want to know what happened? Well, first I had a situation with a girlfriend when I was 20 years old. Then I had situations where I was accused of stealing. Then I had a situation where I actually got pissed off in the grocery store because they wouldn't give me an exchange, and I actually took a magazine out of the store, and they came after me. And that's the extent of my, maybe a couple times where they came over to my apartment when I was playing my stereo too loud. And that's about it. Mm. Yeah, I have had.
Hey, let me jump in real quick. I want to make sure that we acknowledge folks. Big thanks going out to Mark down in Florida. Mark heard Dr. John's challenge this evening, and he met it in its entirety. So Mark just doubled his money courtesy of Dr. John. Thank you very much, Mark, and thanks to Dr. John. Anybody else wanting to jump in, remember, Carol's Hooterville Holler gift basket is still on the table for anybody who wants to do a Have a Show on Me. But it doesn't matter, $5, $10, $100,000. No, that ain't going to happen. That would pay for the horn in, though, wouldn't it, Carol? But no, anything helps, because we are in a deep, 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 deep hole as a result of this week, which I guess we could call a self-inflicted wound. But I thought, you know, I thought folks would like to hear from the people who were there in D.C. And let me just raise this issue. For those of you who listen to the Radio Row broadcast, were you just absolutely because I don't even know the word for it, I suppose, but deeply impressed and moved by the actual real world people who stood to be harmed by these godforsaken teabaggers who were prosecuting this suit. Did that just get all over you?
Well, yeah, because they're
very well
real live flesh and blood people whose lives have been so positively impacted by it, and whose lives would have been purely decimated without it.
The one gal that set Ferg off.
Yeah, she was a nurse from Allegheny General who knew a woman who made a choice, and they had health insurance, but it became unmanageable. Made a choice between having a kidney transplant versus being able to pay for her husband's chemo. You know, the thing is, insurance itself is not the answer. Ultimately, we need 100% coverage for every single person in this country.
Yeah. And it should be a nonpartisan, you know, it should be a nonpartisan issue. I mean, nobody should be going after universal health coverage. I mean, nobody.
Well, you remember the plot line to Breaking Bad?
Yeah, you mean what got the whole story going?
Yeah, well, the lead character had cancer and he couldn't afford the chemo. So he was a science professor, teacher, so he figured he could start making meth to make extra money. That's what the lengths people will go to get health care.
I also thought it was because he was so poorly paid as a teacher.
Well, that goes to him not being able to pay for them.
Well, the insurance wouldn't cover it or something. It's, before the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of poorly paid teachers, about 70% of the teachers now in the state of California are adjunct professors that have to work in multiple different school districts, and they don't even get good health coverage. Is that the same across the nation?
Larry, I think I got to jump in here for a minute. That's probably university professors, not school districts, K-12.
Yeah, I'm talking about the community colleges and state universities and universities, yeah.
Yes, it's the same everywhere.
Okay.
But now there's also a little bit of personal choice that comes in that. If you to be a full-fledged professor at a university, as opposed to a California State University, but I'm talking University of California, University of Oregon, the rest of that, if you want to be on the full-blown tenure track, you have to become not only a professor, but also a researcher. And after you get your PhD, if you really don't want to, and you don't want to jump into that number and create more PhDs and all the rest of that, and you just want to teach a junk professor where, yeah, you make money, but you have to publish a paper every 3 months to maintain your status. You can just teach. So there's a whole lot of under-the-table crap going on with this adjunct professor, full professor type stuff.
Roger, at private universities here in Missouri, they have an offer scholarships. They only, the entire schools are staffed by...
They're not getting screwed over, and they're not cutting the pay and cutting the benefits and all the rest of it. But there is this different level. Now, if a college doesn't want to have any full-time professors, that's a screwed-up college.
Yep.
And I think they ought to be able to go, yeah, I got my PhD, and I really want to teach. I don't want to do research anymore. They should be able to become full professors and all the rest of it.
Yep.
But frequently the language leaves out tidbits. Yeah, professor getting screwed over. JC professor screwed over, and I'm not denying. Just a little nitpicky point that I wanted to bring up. That's all.
Yeah, Roger, I was talking about the JC professors.
JCs have been fucked over for years.
Okay. JC means junior college, folks, or community college, the two-year schools that give the Associate of Arts degrees and Associate of Science degrees.
I think we know that, Larry.
Okay.
You'd never go back to teaching, I presume.
Oh, fuck no. I'm done.
Oh,
do your garden.
Total change of subject here. But you're aware of Ben Carson's recent remark about how...
Oh, you didn't get...
What?
Did you get that thing from the angry Indian?
Oh, about the Ferguson judge? Yeah.
No, Ben Carson.
Oh no! Well, no, I mean, I don't. All I know is that this past Wednesday on CNN,
he didn't send it to you. He sent me a thing, Dan Savage.
Yeah. Well, wait.
See if that makes you gay.
Yeah. The backstory on that is this past Wednesday on CNN, Dr. Ben Carson declared that homosexuality is a choice because, and this is a quote, people who come out, they're gay. And then, of course, he offered the non-apology apology. He offered the non-apology apology. I do not pretend to know how every individual their sexual orient. I regret that my words to express that concept were hurtful and divisive. Well, enter David, as he knows. Dan Savage, this is the best thing since Fuck You, Rand Paul, which I still heartily believe in and think should be a hashtag. Dan Savage, who also, remember, the internet definition of Santorum. Okay? And we all know that it's a frothy mixture. And we'll leave it at that. Well, Dan Savage responded to Ben Carson's insane, sick, bigoted, vile, filthy remarks by simply saying to Ben Carson, if being gay is a choice, prove it. Choose it. Choose to be gay yourself. Show America how that's done, Ben. Show us how a man can choose to be gay. Suck my dick. Name the time and the place, and I'll bring my dick and a camera crew, and you can suck me off and win the argument.
And these are adults.
Who are?
These people that are talking are supposedly full-grown adults.
No, no, no. I got no problem with what Dan Savage said.
Okay.
I got no problem at all with that. Because Ben Carson is the one who says that people choose to be gay. Nobody ever asks these delightfully straight human beings when they chose to be straight.
When did Dr. Carson choose to be black?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, no, because that's obvious. He's obviously black, but it's not black. It's not like race and skin color. That ain't like having the unnatural sex. What is banned by the Bible?
What is Ben Carson's, I know he's a medical doctor, but
he's a pediatric neurosurgeon.
What the hell is he? He knows better than all of this.
Of course he does, Larry. But Larry, this is politics in America. This is what you have. This man actually has presidential aspirations. And in order to be a person with presidential aspirations in the right wing or the Republican Party generally in this country, you have got to say things for the benefit of the mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, floor-rolling, strychnine-swilling, tongue-speaking, serpent-handling faithful. We got to get you over this hump of being shocked by the country you live in.
Well,
and I'm not being mean.
I understand, but I'm tired of living in a stupid universe.
You know what a grifter is, right, Larry?
I think I know what a grifter is.
These people are political grifters.
It's a con artist.
Yes.
And consider this. Because this is one of those things that makes Ben Carson's statement so much fun. If prison is the cause of homosexuality, where is Ben Carson's call for the closure of the prisons? We are the most incarcerated population on Earth among developed countries. And granted, we are presently de-developing, but given that fact, and given Ben Carson's argument that going to prison makes you gay, why has Ben Carson not called for radical reform and closure of most of the prison system so we stop creating so many gay people?
Okay.
I thought straight people created gay people.
Yeah. I have a question. I was listening to another public affairs program yesterday with Stuart Seckman and Abaddon Carroll on it. And Stuart Seckman was talking about that we needed to use persuasion to persuade people that do not agree with that. You know, we need to use persuasion in order to shift this country from its current, you know, political mindset to a different political mindset, meaning from this mindset that they call conservative.
Oh, I'm going to run screaming into the yard.
You know, and I'm wondering how you can persuade somebody who doesn't want to be persuaded or who can't be persuaded to your argument to all of a sudden become a liberal using logic and persuasion. How can you do it? I haven't seen it work yet.
Or well, even better, how do you persuade anyone when all the big money controls the media? How do you get the message out, Larry? That's the question. I mean, we just keep getting beat up by the Coke money. There's just not enough money there.
You know, I mean, I can't beat somebody up over the head because if I try to do that, they're going to run away from me, like, you know, not listen at all. You know, if you try to shove something down somebody's throat, they're not going to want to listen at all. But I'm not sure persuasion is going to work either.
People only change their minds, Larry, when the thing that they've been railing against affects them.
Yep.
But it affects them every damn day, and they are so thick-headed, it rolls off. They have no critical thinking skills. They do not understand that raising the minimum wage will improve their lot in life. They are in this, I got mine, and screw you, and I don't care what your logic is or anything else, because they're totally incapable of coherent thought. And right. I have simply given up trying to talk to them. If somebody hits me up and wants to talk to me about politics and they come off as a right-wing, dumbass, nut job, I look at them and say, you're too fucking stupid for me to talk to. See you later. Bye.
Well, and there's this notion that anybody who says, well, all we need to do is persuade them by making a cogent and compelling argument needs to come live in Appalachistan for a little while and make those cogent and compelling arguments. And then pick
their attention span is 10 seconds.
And then pick up their
argument takes longer than 10 seconds, it's lost.
Well, Roger, what I was going to say is, and then pick your teeth up off the floor one by one, and go back to wherever it is that cogent, compelling arguments work with dumb people.
And I'm going to give you a great example. Senator Snowball came out and called bullshit on all of the cogent arguments that were made against his little stunt by saying, it's in the Bible that God says that he will take care of us, so... All of your facts mean nothing because, you know, Jesus.
I saw that, Carol, and that just makes me hoot like a barn owl because you don't get to say that in a world where most of the people are starving, or at least a great plurality of people are starving, where access to clean water is not a right, where breathable air is not something one may take for granted. No, Jesus is taking care of Jim Inhofe, but Jesus has dropped the fucking ball on a whole swath of this planet.
I'm not even willing to blame Jesus. It's his fan club that I have the issue with.
His privileged little seekers.
Yeah, well...
Oh, and by the way, backing up to the professorial issue of a few moments ago, we have a communique from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan. And she says there's more to the professor thing. Example, if a business school at a four-year university wants the coveted accreditation, the ratio of students to full-time tenure or tenure-track professors cannot go out of whack, especially since PhD professors are needed for publications, another criterion for accreditation. And so it does get a little bit more complicated. And you know, sadly, the adjunct faculty notion, there are community colleges around here that run on adjunct faculties, and I know what they're paid. $500 cash money per semester per class. I mean, that's straight out of Southern West Virginia Community College, because I know somebody who did it. And you know what? Even if it's doubled, since I knew of that situation, if it's doubled, it's a ripoff. If it's tripled, if it's $1,500 cash money for teaching a class for 4 months, okay, let's make it six. So that's $400 a month. How are you going to keep the lights on? How are you going to buy food?
Yeah, that's true.
Jumping into that same thing, the San Francisco Chronicle last week had an article, and they've done research on people who work for unpaid overtime. Teachers lead the list as salaried employees working unpaid overtime. And it's true.
Yeah. I mean, you can, if you're, I guess if you're getting that done to you at Walmart and you've got the stones to do it, then maybe you'll maybe you can file something with the Department of Labor. But
yeah,
teachers,
yeah,
not
but,
so much.
But my little comment on that article that came out was back in the 60s when I first started becoming aware of this stuff. Virtually every teacher on their income tax took a portion of their house, called it a home office, and did the income tax deduction for the home office because they all brought work home. And then the IRS changed it to where it had to be exclusively used for office, you know, your work number. So the teachers all lost their little tiny bit of taking off 10% of their house expenses against their income tax, because of all the work they brought home to grading papers, lesson plans, blah, 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 blah. And the IRS took that away from all the teachers. And that was the beginning of the war on teachers.
Well, yeah, it's got to come from somewhere. I mean, if you're going to give the big corporations the break, so hell, somebody's got to make it up.
Yeah.
My sister, who is now a retired teacher in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she does sub work, got screwed out a whole bunch of money because of this damn weather lately. Thanks, Obama. Because they don't pay subs if you don't sub.
Exactly.
Well, they don't pay teachers if they don't teach either. In California, every school district is allowed 5 snow days. If they go over 5 snow days, which is any kind of bad weather, but if you go over that 5, you have to add them to the end of the year. So you may get a day off in December, but if you get 6 days off, you're going to work an extra week in June to make up those days, and you've got the same pay, but you may have planned a trip to the Caribbean or something on June 12th, but now the school year gets extended, you have to work those extra days.
A teacher planning a trip to the Caribbean. That's funny.
I was going to say, if they can afford that, they're getting paid too much.
I know it was
my sister now subs, since she's retired, she substitute teaches and puts all the money in what she calls her vacation fund. She gets with my cousins out here, and they go on these trips every summer. So that's her vacation fund money. So she's been pissed because of the snow days. Because she was lined up, she had these dates to sub for this one teacher, and then she, you know, those days are gone now because that teacher's going to come back at a certain date, and she missed those days, so she ain't getting paid. And she's not going to come back at the end of the year to make it up for that teacher.
No.
Hey, I want to check in. We've got we heard from Roger in Humboldt. But we've got the other Roger, our other Roger in as well, and I just wanted to make sure you're just sitting there quietly, Roger. Anything to say this evening?
He may be slow to the mic.
Yeah, or not. Just want to, and we've got Carol Abel.
I'm slow to the mic. I'm slow to the mic.
Okay, just wanted to check in with you because we've got all kinds of folks, and I wanted to make sure that everybody gets a chance to get their say in, because when we've got a really, really big and happening extraordinary ordinary roundtable like this, I want to hear from everybody.
I hope that a lot of the people in Canada appreciate how good they have it when I listen to the way that you describe what's going on down there.
Hey, Steve.
Hi.
Well, y'all weren't prepared for it. I had a note from Ron, who was pointing out the fact that people toddle around down here on all-season tires and think it's okay. But you know, this is, you know, you don't, the weather patterns that are hitting us now are not typical. This thing spread from Texas to Maryland in late winter, almost spring. And all I can say is people and governments, state governments are unprepared. I mean, I didn't mention earlier what I went through. I had it easy compared to, say, somebody on I-65 around Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Good God, that was apocalyptic stuff. And people died.
I got a question, Bob.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever use tire chains?
Yeah. But not a lot.
Well, for the most part, DOH does a pretty good job, at least around here, considering all the austerity that we faced over the past several years. You know, I think they do a pretty good job. But like Bob said, these weather patterns are not typical.
I mean, how long – now, we've had it 2 years in a row, Gerald, here in West Virginia. How many times before then can you remember a week or 2 weeks of sub-zero temperatures, you know, at night?
As old as I am, I can't remember that long stretch of zero and below.
Well, it seems to me that the weather is coming later and later. You know, it used to be you had snow around Christmas time, and now there isn't any, and we get it in February and March, it seems like.
Yeah.
Just my observation.
And it's, well, but combined, and again, yeah, considering what they have to do with, the West Virginia DOH does a decent job, but by the same token, it was not lost on me that, I mean, I-64 through from the West Virginia-Virginia line to Lexington, Virginia, was as clear as a bell this morning. I mean, it really was. Not a patch, nothing. But the instant you passed under the Welcome to West Virginia sign, it was a skating rink again for a couple of miles. Now, I don't know if that's because the trucks couldn't turn around or Arnold, you know, or the Virginians opened fire on them if they cross into the Commonwealth. I don't know.
I doubt that's the case. Well, you know, I the only conclusion I can come up with is, because I see the trucks out on the road, you know, all hours of the day and night when we have bad weather. Sometimes when we don't have bad weather, they're just sitting alongside the road waiting on the snow.
Yeah.
All these cuts, you know, that has to affect somewhere.
Well, sure it does. And let's remember who's not paying their fair share in this state. Once again, this is one of those instances where we should be talking about the richest state in the union, or one of the richest states, because God knows more wealth has been pulled out of eastern Kentucky, extreme western Virginia, and West Virginia than
Southern
some
Pennsylvania.
Than some entire states altogether. But it has not benefited us. And so with the austerity that's been forced on us and the fact that the coal industry and God knows the natural gas industry squeals like they're being killed if you ask them to pay another penny on the ton or the cubic yard or what the hell ever, then you get a recipe for this kind of thing. And it's a failure of the general idea of the commons because, once again, let's understand, having clear roads in bad weather is a part of the commons, and that gets sacrificed.
Well, yeah, and then you get back to the whole thing. I mean, our snake flag waving legislators they want to do away with the tolls on the turnpike. And hey, I sympathize with the people that have to travel the turnpike every day, but I think that's like $85 million a year to maintain that 88 miles or whatever it is of highway. Where is that money going to come from if they take the tolls off of it? It's going to come out of the general fund, and your two-lane road going to your house that's already in bad shape is going to get even worse. I mean, that doesn't take an economist to figure that out.
Yeah, because they operate on a philosophy not only that taxation is bad, but that government itself is bad.
Yeah.
And people, you know, people who say, oh, you know, I'm an anarchist, I don't believe in government. Well, do you believe in being able to go from point A to point B when it's snowing without dying? There are some things that we just cannot do one person at a time. And this is one of them. But we are in the grips of a political party that thinks it's a bad idea. And yet, you know what? I'll bet none of those urine-colored snake flag wavers were sitting there screaming socialism because they were able to get to work.
I'd like to jump back to the weather thing just briefly. I have never before in my 30 years of farming had my entire garden tilled up, ready to plant by the 1st of March. And I know it's not the 1st of March, but I did my final tractor rototilling today, and I've got a whole lot of brown dirt all around my house, and I'm afraid to plant because I think we're still going to get frost, but it's been dry enough to churn in all the weeds, keep everything up, and so this getting things later, I mean, my folks used to say, well, we moved to the only place where it rained 31 days in February. And this year was the driest I've ever seen in 30 years of doing my little farm. Which, by the way, Bob, means I need your seeds.
Yeah, I was just sitting here looking at the envelope. So it's time. Wow,
March, I've already got the cucumbers and squash in the greenhouse to get started.
And March got here in a hurry, didn't it, Roger?
Oh, yeah.
And one thing, you know, you talk about that out there in Humboldt. Consider part of the reason things got so bad here in West Virginia was because when I left here, there was still a foot of snow on the ground, and it had been frozen to just about ice status, so that I skated from more or less kind of skated from the front porch of the mansion out to the car. You know, moved very, very carefully. Well, I left and the rains came. And there was enough rain in a couple of days' time that all of that snow melted. And West Virginia flooded like a son of a gun. And then came the blizzard.
Don't forget the temperatures were in the 50s, too, earlier this week.
Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah, they rose to the 50s. So we had rain and 50s. Followed by a sudden plunge to zero. You know, these extremes are not normal, and I don't give a damn what Senator Snowball says. And we had, look how many tens of thousands of people were out of power here, Gerald?
Oh, I don't know. I was out all day today. It's sometime early this morning it went out, didn't come back on until what, 2 o'clock?
And yet
it goes out all the time.
And yet these damn fools with their urine colored snake flags and don't read to me. they think solar power is some sort of communist plot. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if West Virginians didn't lose power just because of a big snow?
It happens every year.
Well, and it happens more and more.
Have underground utilities.
Well, that ain't happening here.
Well, I can tell you another reason why that ain't happening, and I have talked to a lot of people in the industry about that, you know, especially when we're out for days and days during duratios or whatever the hell you want to call it. Talked to some guys that worked for the phone company. I've talked to guys that worked for the power company. Guys that have been around for a long time. Why don't they put these underground? And the main reason is people don't want them underground on their property. That was one of the most common excuse I heard from all the utilities. Well, people
That's
just don't
bullshit
want
bullshit argument.
Well, you know, if people won't give you the right of way, you can't do it.
That's why they have streets. Put it in the street.
Well, and that's actually also kind of why you have eminent domain too.
This is a state
that's somewhere between 25% and 50% owned by out-of-state corporations.
And we use eminent domain to take minerals. We don't worry about.
Don't we here in California have an easement thing on your property line to get from the street?
Oh, we've got it in West Virginia too.
No, the fact is that putting utilities underground costs more money than putting them up on top. However, Pacific Gas and Electric, Pacific Bell, AT&T, all the rest of that have a deal with cities, counties, state that they can drill a hole, plant a pole, and don't have to pay a dime in property tax or anything else for where they plant the pole. Back in the 30s, 40s, somewhere in there, some San Francisco council member, board of supervisors member or something, decided to charge PG&E for property taxes on the area filled in by power poles on city property. And it created a huge firestorm because all of a sudden PG&E, AT&T, and the rest of that, we're going to have to start paying property taxes on the land covered up by the power poles on city property. And they just rebelled against it because it was going to cost all this money, and it was going to raise the rates for all the people that had PG&E and all the rest of that crap. And, I mean, it was just property tax for the, oh, God, what, 30 square inches or something underneath every power pole? And the corporations got away with saying, screw you, city. We're not paying property taxes for where our power poles are.
And the other practical reality here is that, you know, it takes...
The terrain.
Not just the terrain, but it takes 1,000 years to create 1 inch of soil. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes mountaintop removal such a horror, is the fact that we don't have that. It's rich. The soil is rich as hell, but there ain't a lot of it. And
it's called overburden to you people that don't know.
Yeah, you go through that 6 inches of soil real quick, and you're looking at sandstone, or maybe,
and then it gets buried in the bottom of the landfill because it came off first,
or slate.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of blasting involved. Just to, you know, if you want to try to bury a line, so that militates against it as well. But all of these things go to, I mean, there are better ways. For instance, the power companies, if you drive around, and maybe it's a little bit like this in the forest of Northern California, but if you drive around through the forested areas of West Virginia, you see power. You either see, you know, the great big right of ways with the huge swaths cut through. And that's for the big transmission lines. But we've got, for all intents and purposes, power lines strung on toothpicks through the woods around here. And all it takes is one overloaded pine tree bough and...
Which is exactly because
the power companies have rights of way, but they do not maintain the rights of way because they pour most of their money into their shareholders, not into their infrastructure.
They don't have tree trimmers.
They do, but they don't get when they. This was part of the problem with the storm a few years ago when we were out for weeks at a time. They hadn't been clearing the right of ways, keeping them back. And the power company said it costs too much money. We need a rate increase for that.
So they got it.
He said, no. Yeah, they said, you can't have 25%, but here's 16 or whatever it was. And that's how that works. Now, I don't know how it's going to work now if that law passed.
And so now, and
stockholders, not a tree trimmer.
Right. And so now, just to kind of reinforce what I was talking about earlier as far as the ongoing struggle to keep this all on the air. So now, I got a $600 power bill for last month. Now, when Gerald mentioned the rate increase, let me make clear. This is what it means to have a rate increase. We are very, very, very stingy about electricity usage in this house. I have finally gotten through, it's taken a lot of years, the idea that there's not a lot of point in having well-lighted empty rooms. Every bulb in this house is an LED. Okay? So even if we have well-lighted empty rooms, they're not draining a hell of a lot of electricity. We have one a dormitory-sized refrigerator. No freezer. We're not running a stove. We're not running a water heater. We're running two computers, two monitors, a microphone compressor, a couple of modems, a mixing desk, and we charge we charge devices. And through the teeth of this winter, we have run three electric space heaters. That's it. February, $600. Now that's just our reality.
Here goes some guy taught me how to bypass the meter. So they cut the power off, and he came out and showed me how to bypass the freaking meter, and I had about half of my outlets running, but it was enough, you know.
Somebody showed you how to slug a meter.
Bob, may I ask how many kilowatt hours you were ostensibly metered for that $600?
I don't have it in front of me, Roger.
Because it sounds to me like there's something wrong.
Well, there probably is.
There probably is something wrong. Describing even at a very high kilowatt hour rate, that kind of usage to me suggests a bill on the order of $30 or $40 for the month.
Oh no, not here, not here. No.
I heat with a gas forced air furnace, and our temperatures are not that different between me and Bob. If it is 35 here, it's probably 30 there, or something like that. I heat with gas, and everything else in my home is electric. I am on the budget for $85 a month. And
well, is Bob heating with electricity?
Yes.
I'm heating.
Three
I'm heat-
space oh, heaters.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
That does explain quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I have not been able to convey that message to the members of this household that there's not much point in unoccupied, well-lit rooms. And I myself have LEDs, and what are not LEDs are CFLs.
Yeah.
So, I've been using the CFLs for a long, long time because, you just don't have to change them very often.
Yeah, and I just got a message via Facebook from James. He says it's the space heaters. It absolutely is the space heaters because they draw a whopping load of wattage.
Yeah, they're like, 1,500 watts or something?
Yeah.
On high.
and they don't, you know, and we've needed every damned calorie of heat. And remember, we've augmented that with, well, in February, we augmented that with $400 worth of propane.
Wow.
And that's not to keep the whole house toasty warm. That's zone heating. There's a space heater in the
studio.
There's a space heater in the studio, a space heater in the bedroom, and a space heater in Ferg's room.
You ever thought of converting over to propane?
To do, well, I mean,
with electricity costs.
Well, wait. Well, Tim, convert to propane? Sure. But there's no furnace. There's no furnace. A furnace, you know, a furnace, whether it be propane or electric or oil or whatever, a furnace is, you know, a $10,000 affair, and that ain't in the cards.
Yo, 10,000.
Well, he's probably going to have
it gone way up too for my day.
Yeah, I mean, this is, this isn't a matter of crawling up on the cross or anything. We need the wood, but you know, the heat pump died probably 10 years ago, and there was, you know, and that's, you know, that $5,000 at the very least. And so
the heat pump's probably your most economical way to go.
Well, until the temperature drops below freezing.
Actually, it's got to get down to about 18 before a heat pump won't work.
Well, no, but the thing is, yeah, you get into using that emergency heat, or, you know, what my friend refers to as heating the house with a toaster coil, and yeah, the meters start. But no, there's a problem. I've had Appalachian Power out here, and they've seen it themselves, and then they sent another guy out and said, "No, it tests out just fine. Ain't no problem."
Bob. Yeah, last year my heat pump went out, the outside unit, and I had to use the emergency heat, and my electric bill just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So that got replaced last March. And the bad thing was that the compressor had just went out of warranty 2 weeks prior.
Well, and I feel kind of guilty here with my freezers and refrigerators and a big house and all the rest of that running $130, $140 a month.
But, the larger point that I was making is that, you know, when I say we're behind in fundraising, it has real world impacts. And that's one of them. So, bless Carol's heart for having the Hooterville Holler gift basket out there for anybody who wants to have a show on me.
And we're going to leave that up until we catch up.
Thank you, Carol. And I'm trying to, you know, basically we missed out on it. We missed out on a week with this trip to D.C., which may, and, you know, having to stop overnight and stuff like that just wound up being an additional burden. And wow. So hopefully we'll catch up. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there waiting to, well, the first of the month is always like that. And you know, this is the curse of not having the Koch brothers fund you, or on our side, George Soros. Hey, George. You know.
Where's your mic?
Well, his name sure gets invoked a lot by the right. Where the hell is all that money? On Warren Buffett.
Can Dennis Kucinich can talk to you about the Cleveland Electric Illuminating Company, and they wanted him to sell the municipal light plant, and he refused, and they went after him with, well, they didn't have any pitchforks, you know, but they were same mentality, you know. I know Dennis. I knew him quite well when he was real young, and, you know.
Hey, Bill.
The Wall Street Journal. Yeah.
Did you get your Hooter Holler gift basket?
Somebody hinted at it.
Sparky, it hasn't arrived yet because I'm just getting ready to send them all out. I had one of those 60-hour work weeks this week.
Okay.
It was. It was
you
very.
You have for 60 hours a week, don't you? You're not in the auto business 60 hours. Car business.
Yes, I am.
Sell them.
Yes, I am.
Boy. You know, how are things small?
It was. No, it was very profitable this week. That's why I worked so much.
Is Kevin still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You want one of them Hooter Bill Holler gift baskets?
Sure.
Okay, I'll especially do a show on me, and you send your contact information to Bob, because I don't want Carol to be able to track me down.
Oh, are you in the witness protection program, Sparky?
Well, kind of, sort of. But you threatened me the other day with, shut it.
Thank you, Sparky.
A week or so ago.
Oh, I wouldn't hurt you.
So you want to do that, Kevin?
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
It'll be on the Horn Malloy Skype group. I have some money that people donated to me through this group. I'm not saying who, but I'll send it to Bob right after the show's over and send Bob your contact information.
Yeah. You might already
He'll send it to Carol.
But, okay. By the way, how much more do LED bulbs cost than the CFL bulbs that I've got that are little curly cube bulbs?
They're a little bit more, Larry, that the price is coming down.
It's come way down. I hate to admit it, but at your local big box stores,
like $4 or $5.
I've seen them as low as $3.
Yeah. It just depends on how many, the watt equivalents that you want. The bigger they are, the more they cost. But you can get the 40 watters for like $3 or $4. Actually, as they go bad here, I've been replacing them with the LEDs. I really like them.
Oh, I do too. They're wonderful. I like them a lot better than the CFL.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, because they're on, like, right now. The CFLs, they kind of, even when you bought those instant-on ones, they were still kind of slow getting up to speed.
Yeah, they're also slow when it's coming on when it's cold.
The CFL takes time to warm up.
Yeah, and they draw a lot of energy when they first start up.
But then they don't draw as much.
Yes.
They'll get brighter within about a minute or so.
I'm slowly replacing them with LEDs because, you know, like I said, I haven't convinced everyone in this house that unoccupied illuminated rooms are useless.
The only other thing you can do is go to motion sensors.
You'd think that everybody was out there reading Hemingway's A Clean, Well-Lighted Space or something.
It's not only lights, it's appliances and... You know,
I heard that story on National Petroleum Radio the other day about the smart coffee pot that Mr. Coffee has put out there that's got Wi-Fi in it and will torment you with aggravations that it wants more water poured in it, or asking if you really sending you a text message to ask if you really really want your coffee at 7 the next morning, and I'm thinking, you know, we're pitiful.
But now the other thing you got to deal with is your TiVo box, your VCR, your TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, for your entire entertainment system. That's all drawing energy over time to keep the clocks working and record your TV shows at whatever godforsaken hours and all the rest of it is a tremendous leakage that is consuming a lot of electricity in a lot of people's houses.
Phantom power, I think is what they call it.
Yeah, phantom power.
Just can't you get a power outlet and then turn it off at night?
You can get a power strip and turn it off, but then your clocks go off, and if you've programmed to record CSI, whenever it shows up on whatever network on whatever day, da-da-da-da-da, you lose all your programming. So you don't want to shut it off because then you lose your programming. And that leakage, and if you plug your cell phone in, you leave that little transformer plugged into the wall and the little cable for your phone, and you charge your phone, and then you unplug the phone from that little cable, and you walk off with your phone, but you leave the transformer plugged into the wall, that transformer is sucking juice.
Whenever you've got an appliance, and I should know all this stuff, but whenever I've got an appliance plugged into the wall, whether or not I'm using it or not, it's burning or it's drawing electricity.
Yeah, and especially things like cell phone chargers.
Well, that's what I was talking about, cell phone chargers. Now, if you've got your bedside light and it's just a light, I don't care whether it's a LED, CFL, or incandescent, when you turn it off, it's not drawn. But as soon as you get that little transformer number in there, or you've got a digital clock on the appliance or anything like that, your microwave oven is sucking power all the time, even when you're not using it.
Well, yeah, because it lights up, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean, and back, you know, back here in the studio, there's stuff that has to stay on, especially, you know, in the cold weather, it's better that computers are on than off.
Yep.
Okay.
Because they generate a certain amount of heat that becomes self-preservational.
Because I think the students here in Cal, they're not at home at all. I mean, they're in the library most of the time. If they're, you know, and their electricity bills are really low, I think.
What the hell's wrong with the students at Cal? They're in the library? Why aren't they in a bar?
Here's a thought. Here's a thought about parasitic loads, which is what they're known as. What you can do is decide which things absolutely have to remain running because of clocks or hard drives that need to function for your TiVo or whatever, and plug those into regular outlets or what have you. But those things that are going to present a parasitic load that do not need to be running all the time, like cell phone chargers and many, many other things, you can put on a power strip and then just kill them all at once. There's a product out there called the Kilowatt, K-I-L-L-A-W-A-T-T. It allows you to see exactly how much power is being drawn. You hook whatever you wish to measure into it, and then you plug it into the wall and be sure that your thing is on. And it shows you how much power it's drawing under different load conditions. You can use this to even see how much power, say, a laptop computer that you want to track how much power it uses when it's plugged into the wall. You can do this with all different kinds of things. I own one. They cost about $20. And you can track down those things that are going to present a 5-watt parasitic load over a month winds up costing you about $2 by our local kilowatt price. Well, you add a 5-watt parasitic load is not much. It's what many things do use, and if you can track those down, you can cut your bill quite a bit. So keep in mind the idea of the parasitic load and try to put those things that do present one on a power strip that you can kill. And buy a kilowatt so that you know what you're using.
And there are various agencies that will loan you one of those kilowatts for a month or so to bring home, test your house out, and then return it, and they loan it out to somebody else.
Okay. I don't know if Pacific Grafton Extortion has those, but I can try.
But there's got to be some energy-saving consortium in the Berkeley area that will loan you one.
And there most likely is, Roger, but the issue beyond that, though, is that, and I was just talking via text with Barbie about this. Hi, Barbie. You've been in the chat all night and haven't said boo. Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Barbie.
The thing is that the idea of of not wasting electricity. For a whole lot of places, you know, we live in T-America now, and you know we're supposed to be driving great big SUVs and burning all the gasoline we can and all the electricity, and climate change ain't real, and burn it, you know, burn baby burn, right?
Drill baby drill.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm really shocked at how low my bills are after listening to every single one of these things. Because I'm guilty of, I don't leave lights on, but I leave things plugged into the wall all the time. The VCR recorder, it's not a VCR anymore. From the dish company, but I leave things on all the time.
That don't make you a bad person, Barbie. It makes you a good capitalist.
The dish.
I don't want to be a good capitalist.
Do you have
progressive?
Do you have the HD?
Yes.
It turns itself off on the dish.
Oh, it does. Does, yeah.
Yes.
But still, I have other things I'm guilty of.
Well, we are out of time, y'all, and I want to thank Randy for jumping in at the end of things this evening. Thank you very kindly, Randy. That means between Dr. John's challenge being met by Mark and Randy, we made the $150 mark for tonight, which is probably more like the $150 mark for last Tuesday, and you know, we'll go forward that way. Thank you very much, Randy, and Mark, and Dr. John. Thanks all of y'all for participating this evening. Thank you, Sparky, as ever, for moderating. Thank you, Gerald and Barbie and Carol and Haley and Roger and Roger. Thank you, Carol Abel in Australia. Thank you to Steve in Canada. Thanks to Larry. Thank you to Thomas, Jug of Punch. And thanks to Bill and Kevin over on the Gizmo line. Thanks to all of you for tuning in and for spending your finite time with us. It is the rarest gift indeed. So suddenly it's the weekend. Hey, Dr. Bill will be back next week. Yay! And we'll get things rolling for more on Monday. I'm going to be in Charleston tomorrow at noon. Maybe I'll get to hang out with Gerald a little bit. You going to be there, Gerald?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there.
Hot diggity. I'll wear a big board that says, "Hi, I'm Bob," or something.
I'll look for you.
All right, yeah, you've seen the photos. All right, y'all have a good weekend. Stay warm if you're somewhere that it's cold. Be cool if you're somewhere that it's warm. I just don't want to hear about it. And we'll talk soon. Thanks, of course, always to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACHECT, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.